Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey everybody, I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness. Thanks for click and play on the Holderness Family Podcast.
I know. I love spending time with you and you, the person listening, but also you, my husband.
Well, thanks for that. And also, I'm sure they're grateful as well. Okay. So we're going to have some fun today.
I'm so excited because you know what? There are some days where I turn to my podcast feed and I say, will you just please, people, for the love of God, cheer me up? Today is one of those days. I need some cheering up. And it's going to happen.
So housekeeping really quickly.
I love it.
We are going to mention this because we're very proud of it. ADHDisAwesomeBook.com is where you can find our new book, ADHD is Awesome. It is coming out very soon, y'all.
I know. And tour dates. We are going on a little book tour, which we didn't get to do last time because of the old Rona. So yeah, we are going to be in New York City, Santa Monica, Raleigh, Charlotte, and the Mall of America in Minneapolis. So very excited.
And all that information is on our website. I also want to mention, I said we're in pre-order for the book, but if you order it now, it's like super helpful just to us. If you want to be our super best friend, if you order the book now, it helps this like crazy algorithm that will allow you to make the New York Times bestseller list if you order it beforehand.
Can I also say,
I know you don't. Yeah,
I don't care.
I know you don't.
I mean, it's great. I'll be so thrilled because that means more people will find it.
Yeah.
But I love already, we're getting a lot of, you know, people with podcasts are interviewing us and they've read the advanced reader version of it. And they are, you can tell these really serious journalists are being impacted by it.
Yeah.
So I just think it's going to be one of those books, if it makes a list or not, hand to God. I don't know that that matters. I think that this is the type of book that people are going to like hand, like if their kid gets an ADHD diagnosis or they're, you know, married to somebody with ADHD, they're just going to, it's going to be so impactful and it's going to be so helpful. And I just can't wait for everybody to read it.
Also, if you're a subscriber to this podcast, you may have noticed some extra pods popping up in the last few days.
Yes, we have a bonus series.
Yeah, last week was part one and this week part two, all about ADHD. Okay, so part one, we actually answered the question, what does ADHD look like? Which was a fascinating conversation using a bunch of metaphors. This week for part two, we're going to be talking about how to partner with someone with ADHD. Kim will be joining me for that one, as well as Dr. Emily King. They're quicker episodes, like really fast paced. They're in a new format, a lot of music that we think that people with ADHD would, I don't know, make it through.
Yeah, I love this.
You like the format?
To the point where, you know, as I was listening to them, the production is a little different because there's music and it's songs. A, I want to incorporate that into this podcast a little more, but mm-hmm. B, I loved you being a solo host so much that I texted our team and said, you know what, guys, I think this is better without me.
False.
I'll just go sit by the pool. You guys do all the work. This was awesome. So yeah, I loved it.
I think that it goes the other way as well. I think you'd be very good at it by yourself. In fact, you might be better at it than I am. So I think we're going to give you a run at that as well. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how it works. And then it's kind of like sleeping in separate beds. You know, we'll just kind of go our separate ways and we'll meet up at the end or at the beginning.
Or at the beginning.
And then go the other way and then come back. Okay. But we're all together.
Anyway, are you ready for some fun?
Yeah, let's have some. Well, I want to start with a story. I remember this pretty vividly. You and I were on a walk about 2 years ago, maybe 18 months ago. And you were talking. You had a lot you had to say. And so I had a lot to say. I felt like I was doing a good job listening. I was listening hard. But then you said to me, do you realize that you haven't asked me a single question since we've been out here? And it hit me. My first instinct was like, so? Like, you've been talking the whole time. But I think you had a point there.
I had asked you questions, and then you had given me responses, and then I did the thing that you're supposed to do in conversation, which is, you know, typically what you would have done is then ask me a question. Uh-huh. So I was just sort of filling in as if you had asked a question. So we went on at about a 5 mile beach walk.
Yeah.
And the 2.5 miles out, my back hurt from carrying that conversation. I was carrying you.
But I was trying to listen.
And okay.
That's the other thing that I'm working on is just not interrupting and talking all the time, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But on the way back, I did this little passive aggressive social experiment where I said, I'm just going to just be quiet and enjoy the ocean and the seagulls. And if my husband would like to start...
Well, I would start talking. I just didn't phrase it in the form of a question. I would make like an observation.
Right. Okay. So
anyway, I want you to know that since then I've been working on it and I have learned a lot more about you and other people since that conversation by asking more questions.
And when it comes down to this, more curious people have stronger relationships. There have been two studies done at George Mason University, and there was a researcher, Todd Kashtan, and he said this about the results. When you show curiosity and you ask questions and find out something interesting about another person, people disclose more, share more, and they return the favor, asking questions of you. And Kashtan said it sets up a spiral of give and take, which fosters intimacy. I'm not just talking about a romantic relationship. I'm talking about friendships and even that small talk at a, you know, cocktail party. I struggle with, I can ask you a million questions, but I struggle at that small talk. My mom and I went to go see David Sedaris, and David Sedaris is this wonderful essayist and just this brilliant comedic writer. And he talks about how much he hates small talk, but he is one of the most naturally curious people I've ever encountered. And he had an essay that he read from where he talked about how he would just ask pretty random questions to start conversations. One of them, he was in an elevator with somebody in his building and he asked, how long have you known your dentist? And it wasn't because he needed a new dentist. He was just curious how long this woman had known her dentist. And it started this spiral of conversation about how it's been 25 years and then my husband this and that. It just took off in conversation. So asking better, I just think we all need to ask better questions.
So what would you like to do next in this podcast? See what I did there?
Ask a better question. I will say this. We asked you to call us and tell us the best question or worst question you've ever been asked. And we are just going to take it from there. There's some gold in here.
Yeah, we'll spend probably more time on the good questions because those are the ones that are going to foster intimacy. But it was fun just asking people what the worst question you've ever had.
Okay, here we go. First, we're going to hear from Pamela.
Hi, Kim and Penn. This is Pamela Donnelly. The best question that I've ever been asked is one that I use at the beginning of every consultation when I'm working with families because I'm a college admissions specialist. And that question is, what is most important to you right now? What's most important to you? It's such a beautiful, wide open question. And when you're talking to a parent whose kid is trying to figure out the college thing, very often they talk about, I want them to be happy. I want them to find a place that's the right culture, et cetera, et cetera. But when you talk to a teenager, what's most important to them very often is quite different. And it's just such a beautiful process. And to me, that question, I've used that question on first dates. I've used that question in all kinds of situations. Okay, love you guys. Bye.
First of all, it sounds like I would be friends with Pamela. I love this question, especially talking to teens in the stage of life we are in.
She mentioned that she asks the teens and the parents. I wonder if she just asks it open-endedly and who answers first. Mm-hmm. I bet it's always the parents. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's that I love that. And I'm going to ask that of friends and teens in the future. By the way, I wrote a blog post about let's stop saying this to our teens. And I thought it was going to be so easy breezy. We have a junior in high school, and I am guilty. Previously, I would, if I met up with a teenager, I'd be like, oh, you're going to go to college? Where are you thinking about going to college? I had no idea how stressful this process was and how much stress just that simple question creates. So many people agreed with me. We need to ask better questions of our teens, but there are a lot of people out there in the comment section that were like, you need to grow a thicker skin, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I love this question, Pamela.
Hey, Kim.
Yeah.
What's most important to you right now? That's what we're going to do. Like, we're going to ask each other these questions.
The most important thing to me right now is trying to maintain some sort of balance as we birth a book into the world and deal with some other family stuff, just finding ways to, you know, strike a balance and get through the day. How about you?
The most important thing to me right now is making sure we finish this podcast. Seriously. Like to me, anytime anyone asks me that question, it's the thing I'm working on at that point.
Okay.
Is the most important thing to me right now. And I think that says a little bit about the two of us. And I think we do work together very well. Mm-hmm. But I knew that when I asked you that question, you were going to answer, I think, in a big picture format. And to me, like right, I'm thinking about right now. But it's going to be something different in 20 minutes. But right now, it's the task that's in front of me.
That I think that maybe that's such a gendered thing. Do you think that you could zoom out a little bit? If you zoomed out a little bit, what's the most important thing?
Sure, but that wasn't the question.
Okay, zoom out. What is the most important thing to you?
Oh, I mean, I want my family to find happiness. That's the most important thing to me right now. I feel like I've found it. Mm-hmm. And I want my family to find it. But again, I do think that I do have time to zoom out and do that. But that's why a question like this is fun, because you learn different things about each other, right?
Okay. So that was a really good question. Yeah. Now, can we do a pretty terrible one from Cindy?
This is Cindy Hamilton. I'm from Asheville, North Carolina. And my stepmother-in-law was over visiting during Christmas. And I don't know if she'd had too many glasses of wine or whatever, but she looked straight over at me and said, is your mother dead yet? I think what she meant was, how's your mother doing? And that kind of thing, but that's not how it came out. Anyway, that's my worstest question I've ever been asked. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Maybe we shouldn't hit play on that one.
Yeah.
The timing of that one.
No.
Maybe a little bit of a gut punch. Sorry, babe. No.
I will say sometimes it's a generational thing. I'm going to slightly change the subject. I totally feel for Cindy for having been asked that question. But my dad, God rest his amazing, legendary soul, before his brain sort of succumbed to Alzheimer's, one of the last conversations I had with him, he was sitting next to me, and on the other side was my daughter, and looks right at me, and my dad's not quiet.
Not a quiet man.
And says, she had her period yet?
And Lola, she was like
Lola's right
10
there.
Or 11.
Lola is right there.
I know.
So I do believe that that generation, particularly my father, I think that their inner monologue goes away.
You know, we have learned about that.
Yeah.
We have learned that even just as I'm going through this perimenopausal, like this hormonal process, we've learned that the filter is removed. I don't know what's going to happen when it's like further removed.
Oh, I can't wait.
When I get to be the age your dad was at that time, like what is going to come out of my face?
Well, we're getting there, and I can't wait to be along for the ride for that.
We will be right back. Don't go anywhere. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
All right, Penn, give it to me straight. How is your social battery right now?
Honestly, it's funny because my battery gets full when I see people, yours sometimes gets drained when you see people, right?
Right.
So for me, mine was kind of low, and then I went and played tennis last night, and I like had a beer afterwards with the guys, and so I'm like recharged now.
Yeah, and that would be so much fun for me, but then I would need a day to recover from that. So yeah, it could be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially as social gatherings are picking up after the winter.
It's important to know how much socializing you can withstand and also how you might recharge.
Maybe you thrive around people like Penn, or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
So therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It is entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapist at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/Holderness today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp. That's HELP.com/Holderness.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Let's be honest. We've all had embarrassing BO moments. Like any time you have to speak in public, if you don't put deodorant on, it's like a different type of sweat. Ugh. And you and I did like a thing and I got done. And thank God I had a blazer on because it sort of masked it. But then I took it off and got in the car and it was just like...
There is a lot of pit sweat. Yeah. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about that BO again.
Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way.
Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet.
Lumi is a game-changing deodorant designed by an OBGYN.
Fast forward 6 years and her Whole Body Deo has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews.
How? Well, unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated to stop odor before it starts, more like a pre-odorant.
I personally love that Lumi is baking soda free and paraben free.
You can choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code HOLDERNESS at LumiDeodorant.com.
That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi Deodorant and use code HOLDERNESS.
And it's Lumi, L-U-M-E.
Okay, another best question. This is a good one from Lisa.
Hey, Kim and Penn. I was answering your question about best conversation starters. This is my new favorite one for people you think you know at a dinner party or at a gathering, or actually if you want to get to know people in an unusual environment. Everybody likes to feel like the hero of their story. But my new favorite question is, whose story are you the villain of? Was it somebody in sixth grade? You didn't invite them to your birthday party. Boyfriend you broke up with on Valentine's Day. What awful thing did you do to somebody at some point in your life where if they're sitting at a dinner party, you're the villain in their story? Lisa Thornton calling from Pleasanton, California. Love you guys. Love following you. And great questions. Love it. Have a great day. Bye.
Lisa.
I like it.
I love it.
I like it.
Okay, Penn, whose story are you a villain of?
Oh, it's really, I don't know the guy's name, but it's the guy who went on the internet and called me a flop sweaty douchebag clown.
Oh, he hates
me. This was like right when our first videos came out.
I'm sure I'm the villain of many people's stories. Not many. I don't know. but I definitely have broken up with people.
Okay.
Not dramatic fashion, right. though. I'm sure.
So you think it might be an ex?
Probably.
Okay.
Great question. Now here for a worst. Oh, just the whole theme of this. Ellen.
Hi there. So this is Ellen from Fort Worth, and this is the worst question I've ever been asked to start a conversation. I was probably 8 or so months pregnant with my oldest daughter, and it was the middle of summer, and I was hot and miserable and obviously very heavy with child. And this person who I had just met said, "So how many are you having?" Yeah, so that was pretty bad. I'm like, just the typical one. I'm not having a litter. So, yeah, talk about a nice punch to the old ego. But, yeah, worst question ever asked. Even worse than when someone asks if you're pregnant and you're not, which, by the way, I have been asked that once before, but that didn't sting as much as how many are you having. Thanks. Love you guys. Bye.
Should we play Allie's real quick? Yep.
Hey, I'm Allie from Indiana, and I'm calling about the worst conversation starter or worst question. I was about 32, 34 weeks pregnant with my first daughter. I was at Cracker Barrel, and I had severe preeclampsia, so I gained quite a bit of weight from the swelling. And the worst question was, "Wow, you are really big pregnant. How much weight have you gained?" So yeah, not great.
Okay, Ellen and Allie, I hear you and I see you. I was asked, "How many are you having?" I was asked, "How much weight did you gain?" Because I gained over 50 pounds with both my kids. The worst, I was 4 months postpartum and I went to get, somebody gave me a massage gift certificate or something like that after I had a baby. I went to go get a massage and they said, "Actually, ma'am, I'm sorry, we can't do this massage today because we can't massage a pregnant person." And I responded with, "Well, that's great, but I am not pregnant." Oh, no. And then I feel as if they gave it to me for free. I'm like, I am so not pregnant. But at 4 months postpartum, I still,
sure.
That's something they didn't really tell me about, was that you will still look pregnant for a long time, which is why I could have,
just don't ask people if they're pregnant.
I could have an arm hanging out of the birth canal. You cannot ask me if I'm pregnant. First of all, if I'm pregnant again, it's been like a Jesus situation, so I'm not going to get pregnant again. But if I see a woman who looks very, very pregnant, is wearing very obvious maternity clothes, I will never ask, when is she due? I will never ask anything about her pregnancy until she brings it up.
Counterpoint.
Yeah.
Not a counterpoint. Never mind. I had a counterpoint.
What is it?
I've just had women that I've spoken to and I've just played dumb.
Yes.
After a while, I've been like, "Well, duh, I'm pregnant." And I'm like, "Well, I knew that, but I didn't want to say anything."
Can just say, like, "I didn't want to assume. Maybe you just had a very large burrito."
Right. Okay. So can we just have like a quick, for the dudes, like a quick like crash course for pregnancy etiquette? Like,
or women. Yeah.
So I'm going to say stuff and you just tell me if yes or no, or if there's a better way to say it.
Okay.
How far along are you?
I just would not ask.
Okay.
I just wouldn't ask.
If
they've said, I'm pregnant, I can't wait to not.
No, I understand that. Like, once you know you're pregnant,
you can ask that question.
When are you due?
Again, if they've offered the information that they're pregnant, you can ask that. But unless that happens, no.
How you holding up?
Great. Okay. But again, if you're trying to elicit some sort of pregnancy information, I would ask about anything other than that.
Okay. How's your vagina?
Always a safe question.
No, I'm joking.
always a good one.
Is there any question at all that you want to be asked when you're pregnant other than, can I do anything for you?
Because first of all, everyone's different. There might be women listening to this who wanted to talk about their pregnancy nonstop. I was of the camp, it's all I think about. I can't sleep. I can't, I was constipated. I felt like I was not magical during my pregnancy. So I wanted to not talk about it.
Yeah.
So maybe I was different. And it's been a minute since I was pregnant, thank goodness. But you could ask, like, what is the food you're most excited to eat after?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Like, what are you? Because there's so many things they tell you you shouldn't eat.
Yeah. We're not in a place. We're still in a place where I can, like, offer a seat. I can offer a place in the subway. I can. Yes. You can do, like, that sort of chivalry will never die. Correct?
I have to say, New Yorkers, sometimes there's this reputation that we lived in New York when I was pregnant with Lola. There's maybe they're like rough and gruff. They are the kindest people.
On the subway, you mean?
They're not going to be, I think in the South, everybody is nice. And sometimes it's a little fake, bless your heart. But in New York, I feel like everybody's kind. So I walked on the subway and it was just rush hour. And elderly men and women would stand up and give me a seat. I never didn't have a seat on the subway. And then after Lola was born, we had to do this really funny. Penn had a very early morning job and then I had to be at my job by 9. But he couldn't make it home in time and I couldn't just like leave her there. So I would bring her up to Columbus Circle in the stroller. And here, I have my work bag and all the stuff and plus her stuff and a stroller. And when I tell you, people didn't even make eye contact with me, but I'm trying to go up the stairs because the elevator never worked. And they would just grab the front of the stroller and help me bring it upstairs. Yeah. 100% of the
time. Wouldn't even see their face.
I didn't even break pace. I just walked and whoever the person was in front of me just grabbed it and picked it up and took it. They were just the village of people. It was the best pregnancy experience, being pregnant in New York City. Except for when it was really, really hot and I wanted to come out of my skin. Anyway.
Props to New York City.
Yeah. Back to the best question. Here's one from Julie.
Hello, Holderness family. This is Julie Gordon. I live in Southern California. I'm going to give you two questions. I'm going to give you the first one. The best question I've ever been asked to start a conversation is, knowing what you now know about yourself, would you go back and do anything differently in life? It's very introspective and interesting and starts the conversation and is not what I would consider inappropriate. The second question is super inappropriate, but my 8-year-old son loved it. The question was asked at a dinner party is, when was the last time any of us pants? And my son was actually in the room and he was like, oh yeah, I didn't.
Julie, laugh. You win.
I haven't even, like, yeah, we cut that short.
Oh, I love that so much. Okay, first let's do the serious one.
Yep.
Knowing what you know now, would you go back and change anything?
About myself.
Anything.
I mean, that was the question, was what would you change anything that you would do or any decisions that you would make? I was thinking about that. I think that I might have, now that I know about myself, the way that my brain works, mm-hmm. I think that maybe I would have, when I was in college, tried to go to classes where there were fewer people.
Signed up for smaller.
Okay.
I know how much you love your school. You went to UVA and you love it so much. It's such an important part of your identity.
Yeah.
We are looking at colleges with our daughter right now. We're seeing big, small, city, rural, everything in between. You walked onto the campus of a smaller college and you fell in love with it. Do you think going back, you would have gone to a smaller school where the class sizes were smaller?
Nah, because my friends. I like the friends.
But
that
you would have had other friends.
No, I got the best friends. I have the only best friends in the world. I'm sorry. My UVA friends are freaking awesome. Like I cannot imagine a world without them, but I could have kept them and gone to school. Like I just would have, instead of taking all these mass lecture hall classes, because they have a variety of them at that school, I would have just really focused on the smaller classes.
Okay.
I know that's probably like a pretty trivial thing compared to, maybe that's not a very deep answer, but.
No, I think that's helpful.
What about you?
You know, I got into, I'm going to go back to college because I think we're in that mindset right now. I got into a very fancy school. I got into Northwestern. Our family couldn't afford it. I even had a partial scholarship. And still, even with that, it just would have been, I would have been taking out loans and it would have been just really just not financially feasible for our family. And so I did the thing. I went to I went to University of Florida, which is an awesome state
school. Great
school. Great. And a great journalism program. I kind of wonder if I challenged myself a little, because I think academically would have, I mean, just there's a stereotype. Yeah. It's a little more academically challenging. Like what would have happened? But I love how my life turned out. So I think no, like all the pitfalls of and the mistakes I've made has led me here, which sounds like a country song.
Well, let me amend Julie's question. let's say you're changing this about yourself and it's not going to have a butterfly effect.
Yeah. You know, so that's my concern. Cause if I went to a different college,
let's say you went to Northwestern and you would have had to have assumed more debt. That's understandable. But then like you still got to meet me.
I got to have an awesome life.
Right. So, yeah, are you thinking you may have given it a try?
And it was scary. I was from Florida and, you know, I think that I got an acceptance letter in Chicago, and it's in Evanston, Illinois. And I'd never been there because like college tours weren't really a thing back then. There had like some freeze that had like killed people in the city of Chicago. I mean, it seemed so cold. So I was just, I can't go to a place where you could freeze to death.
Was it that much of a decision factor for you?
No, it was more the money thing. I mean, I feel like people figured it out, but it would have been, you know, so one of those like sliding doors. It would have been interesting to see how that would have impacted my life. Back to the second question. When is the last time you pooped your pants?
Yeah.
Penn, do you have an answer?
I don't think I've ever really done it except that one time at the Blockbuster.
Should we remind people?
Oh, yeah. So it was a big part of our engagement story. Kim's brother, I went to visit him in Sarasota to let him know that I intended to ask you to marry me. I think I may have even done that antiquated old-fashioned thing of asking permission. And I also tried to find your dad, but he wasn't there. So I called him and told him. Anyway, Casey was so pumped about it. He's like, we got to go celebrate. I'm going to take you to my favorite restaurant. And it's on the water in Sarasota. It's called the Salty Dog. And what it is you just drink a bunch of beer and you eat like a deep fried foot-long hot dog. It's freaking delicious. Okay. Like it's right down my alley. I like hot dogs as they are, but I also like fried food. Anyway, fast forward to the next day and I'm in like a Blockbuster and do you guys remember Blockbuster?
I love a Blockbuster. Right. Just like the smell
this,
of it.
This was one of the last times I was ever in a Blockbuster.
I think this is why Blockbuster closed.
I hope not. So I was wearing like back then guys wore boxers and like duck heads, like very loose.
What do you mean duck heads?
They're like heavily pleated pants.
There's no like.
Just open. Drifting in the wind. Yeah. Okay. You got to be careful when you sit down not to like have an open view of anything that's going on because of boxers. So I farted in the in the thing and just a little rabbit turd came out and landed on the carpet of a Blockbuster. Like I sharted out in the middle of a Blockbuster and I was wearing Birkenstocks too. I barely got out of the way in time. And I was like, am I going to tell someone that I shit my pants in a Blockbuster? And no, obviously, I just left.
Penn, okay, first of all, I have heard this story. I think if you're a loyal listener,
you've
heard this story. Every time, it's so horrifying because you really, like, you should have found a napkin and cleaned that up, but you didn't. Somebody stepped on that.
I wasn't a very mature person.
You're about to get married.
I got more mature.
But yeah, okay. So that was almost 20 years ago, honey.
Yeah. No, it was 20 years ago.
It was 20 years ago.
It was right around the time that I proposed to you, which was like exactly 20 years ago.
For me, it was, and I feel like I've also told this story. I think I was.
Oh, the lake.
What?
Oh, sorry. Didn't you poop your pants in a lake and it came floated up or something?
No.
That's somebody else. Sorry.
Okay. That's your other girlfriend.
I don't know.
No, I've never pooped in an open body of water.
Okay.
I think I was doing either, I had a lot of magnesium because I heard that that helps you sleep, or I was doing the celery, drinking celery juice in the morning.
This sounds recent.
No, it's like probably in the last 8 years.
So while we were married.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
And it was one of those like, you shouldn't trust the fart.
Oh yeah.
Moments. And I like sneezed.
Oh yeah.
And I had to fart.
Yeah, it'll do it.
So it wasn't like, but the problem was it wasn't like solid. It was just like a newborn stripe. God. And I was like, oh my, and I didn't know how to react.
Wait,
I just like threw away. I put the clothes like in a Target bag I just threw them away.
I need context. I'm sorry. Where exactly were you?
I was like downstairs.
You were in the house.
Yeah. So I was in the house. So it wasn't like away from home.
Okay. Was it this house?
Yes.
I'm surprised you didn't move after this happened, but, okay. And what were you doing? What was going on?
I was just like sitting like a normal person.
You snarted?
I snarted.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those where I think I was trying to drink celery juice or something every morning, and I stopped doing that because it was an adventure. But
you never told me when that happened.
I feel like I've told that story.
I wish you'd told me while it happened. I would have had
no,
so much
are you
fun.
Kidding me? I was so ashamed.
I know.
And
everybody does it.
Everybody does it. Okay, I love this best question train we're on. Let's keep going with Lisa.
This is Lisa from Iowa. The best question anyone ever asked me to get a conversation started was, if you were on a long international flight, who would you want to sit next to?
You're not allowed to say me. You're not allowed to say kids.
Here's the thing.
The answer is probably, I know what your answer is.
It's no one.
Yep, that's
I want to sit next to no one. I want to put on headphones and an eye mask and go to sleep. So you're saying if I had to sit next to someone.
No, she asked your preference. I think that's an okay answer. I mean, I guess we can, you know what? Let's give it a go. You have to sit next to someone.
It's an oversold flight. Somebody's going to be sitting next to me.
Yeah. And the easy thing is, you know, my wife, but no, let's have some fun with it. She's thinking, everyone. She's looking out the window. She's letting inspiration come to her.
I would say either Amy Poehler.
Oh, yeah.
Tina Fey or Maya Rudolph.
You'd just be laughing your ass off the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
But I would need them because I would imagine they are enough like me. I'm not saying I'm like them and that I'm that talented, but they probably would also just want to put headphones in and sleep. But let's say we like had to have a conversation. That's who I would probably, one of those brilliant women.
I was lucky enough to go to the Drive Shack with a guy who used to work in the Secret Service and got to spend all this like one-on-one time with President George W. Bush and with President Obama. And
he got to spend time.
The guy I met was like part of the Secret Service. That's not, no offense, that's not who I want on the plane, but it got me thinking like, oh, those people have the most incredible stories to tell. So I think I would sit next to President Obama.
Oh,
I just feel like if I could maybe like get a couple of cocktails in him, he might tell me some crazy, crazy stuff.
Top secret information.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like, honestly, I think he'd be talkative. Am I insane to think that? That we could like strike up a conversation?
I think you could strike up a conversation with most people.
Yeah. So that would, I think that's, it would be either him or maybe like Lin-Manuel Miranda, because he's just kind of a genius and I feel like he'd be fun to be around. On your train, I would love to sit next to Tina Fey or someone who's very funny.
Okay. Let's keep it going. Nicholas has a way his wife has reframed the typical three people at a dinner party conversation.
Hey, this is Nicholas W. Fuller from North Carolina. I asked my now wife when we were dating, I asked her, if you could invite any three people to a dinner party, who would you invite? I thought that was a great way to kind of start a conversation. But my wife went up to me. She did that Uno reverse card. And she says, without skipping a beat, she says, cool. Do they have to be alive or dead? And like, what about fictional characters? And I loved that my wife's response was immediately to dump the constraints out the door and reimagine the question in a different way.
Oh, I love, so I've heard alive or dead before.
Yeah, but fictional characters.
Fictional characters. I love that question. So who you got, Holderness?
Without thinking or having much time, I would go with Khaleesi.
From Game of Thrones.
The Mother of Dragons. I feel like she'd have bring a lot of intensity and would be very regal.
Yes, and pretty hot. So.
And also very hot. It's funny, like I want to say Liz Lemon from 30 Rock, but it's basically Tina Fey. I want to be able to... Okay, the character that Chris Pratt plays in Parks and Recreation.
Yes.
So Andy Dwyer, I think he would like balance... The Mother of Dragons, and the two of them would strike up some fun conversations and and see what would happen there. And then my third one would be, this is hard.
This is hard.
Sherlock Holmes. Sherlock Holmes would be my third one.
Okay.
Because he's weird. Because he's like, he would gamify everything and deduce all this crap about us. But then also, I would want to dig into the fact that if you remember the way that he was written, like, he didn't understand basic things. Like, he didn't know that the earth revolved around the sun. But he definitely knew all this other stuff.
I get so intimidated by these questions. When you ask, or if anybody asks me these questions, I think they're such brilliant ones. But I wish I need to start keeping answers on a notes app in my phone or something, because my brain goes blank.
Well, so we actually talk about this in the book and in the bonus pod, but my brain is an open air party. So just when you ask that question, I feel like I have access to every single thing that's ever happened to me just waiting to get pulled up.
Right.
And because, and you're way better at task than I am. You are way better at executive functioning. And one of the reasons why is that your brain doesn't, it silos those things and keeps them from constantly bombarding you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you should be glad that you don't just have random characters pop
right, and I'm thinking it just doesn't, they don't come into my head. I would say Kristen Bell's character in The Good Place.
Oh, the Eleanor Shellstrop.
I think she would be very funny. The woman who plays the mailman, Nicole something in The Good Place. Nicole something. She's a comedian. I'm blanking on her name.
The woman from she's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine too.
Yeah.
She's in Nailed It. She's funny as hell.
And then just because I can't think of anything else, Michael Shore.
So just The Good Place people.
I would say
why not?
And creative people. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Okay. Here's the deal. We got so many great questions. So there's usually a blog post that we post on Facebook and on our website and we're going to put all of these questions in here. So if you feel like you want to have a resource of questions that you can pull up before you go and screenshot them before you go into a dinner party, we're going to put them all in here, but let's end with this one. This question's from Tamara.
Hi, Kim. Hi, Penn. This is Tamara. I am from Detroit, Michigan. One of my favorite conversations I have had with a group of friends wasn't a deep philosophical question, but super simple, and it led to a very lengthy discussion. Someone had asked, when you think of Tim Curry, what is the first movie that comes to mind? For me, when I think of Tim Curry, is Annie. But others, it's like It, Rocky Horror, Clue, The Muppets Treasure Island. It's just really fun to see what everybody's answer is in a group.
I love that. So if I have two.
When you think of Tim Curry, what's the first? No, you've got to do the first one.
Okay. Okay. Well, they both. Okay. Okay. Annie.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
Yep.
And then Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Okay.
Two very different.
Yeah. Mine's Clue.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you why. I thought about this. It came to mind first. It really did. Because the question is, what's the first one to come to mind?
So mine was Rocky Horror.
So the first one to come to mind for you was Rocky Horror.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because I was in the Rocky Horror.
You were in a local production.
Production. And Tim Curry carried that movie. He was unbelievable.
Yes.
But I'm just going to, maybe this will tell you something about me. When it comes to content and consuming like things and being entertained, I tend to like a world of extreme, usually like a world of, I like my comedy to be comfortable.
Yeah.
Like I don't think I like dark comedies as much as other people. And Clue was the least dark comedy ever. It was incredibly slapsticky. And I love slapstick. And as great as Rocky Horror Picture Show is, I watched it once and then was like, oh my God, this was a masterpiece. I don't know that I need to watch this again. But I think I've watched Clue 147 times, especially with my kids.
Why do you think that is? I'm the same way, by the way. I it's why everybody loves Curb Your Enthusiasm. Brilliant. I think there's so many brilliant comedians that take part in that. It makes me uncomfortable. Why do you think that is?
Why do you think it is that I don't?
Yeah, that we both
watch.
Are.
Well, because honestly, I mean, what do you want to get out of in free time, entertainment time? Maybe we get to a space in our life where there isn't much going on, and we need to be stimulated and thrown outside our comfort zone. I feel like our entire job is being thrown outside our comfort zone from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we put this on a prior podcast. A friend of ours actually said, is it like you're unemployed every time you wake up?
Mm-hmm.
Because you, once you're done putting a video out, you've got to get the next one up and running pretty soon. And so those things can be really overwhelming for me. And so when I have content given to me, I either want it to be incredibly funny and silly or on another planet, mm-hmm. like super far away from reality. And I know that Rocky Horror was a little bit, was out there and had mm-hmm. like some sci-fi bits to it, but also made me uncomfortable. There was like adultery in it. Mm-hmm. I don't like shows with adultery, even if it's with a weird alien.
I had a dream last night.
Oh.
That you and we were having, there was some sort of a costume contest, but we were paired with another person and you were paired with another lady, another woman. And you guys were dressed up as, you guys were dressed up as like folding chairs, but you were having so much fun. I found myself getting jealous. Maybe that's why I've been so clingy today. I've been very clingy.
You have, and I've, by the way, I've loved it. I'm sorry that you're in distress about this, but let's do that more. No, I'm kidding. Really? Okay. Yeah. So I'm sorry, we were dressed as folding chairs.
You guys were like, had like, you were red, kind of like those ones you bring out to a soccer game.
Okay.
Yeah. And that, yeah, more like lawn chairs. Anyway, great end to the podcast.
No. Well, honey, I would never.
See, asking questions gets you to, you just have good conversations.
I do feel like we learned way more than I expected just by asking these really interesting questions.
I love you all for calling in and leaving voicemails. This was a fun journey and I needed this. I needed a little fun. Yeah. So we have so many more questions that were sent in and we're going to make a blog post about that. Check the show notes. Okay. Love you guys.
Thanks for listening.
I love you.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.